Academy listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Common Sense Academy.
Where common sense just ain't common.
That's for sure. So today's episode, we're going to have a little conversation about, more of a continuation on newly married men.
Yeah, it seems to be a theme of young men to blow up their marriages in the first year because of high, and maybe in some cases, unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, and that's pretty easy to have. As we kind of talked about in our last episode, we all go into this with preconceived notions, you know. We think, yay, sex every day, right?
Home cooking every night.
Yeah, you know, it's all going to be cuddly, romantic, wine and roses. Puppies, everything's sweet.
Puppies and rainbows everywhere.
There you go. And yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yep, exactly. You know, I think some of that is society beats that into our young brains, right? You see it in the magazines, you see it on television, you see it in maybe movies. Not so much. Yeah, movies. Maybe not as much now because the idea of relationships
almost everything on Hallmark changing. Channel.
Yeah, Hallmark and Hallmark alone. You're not wrong. But every story is exactly the same, and every actor is different, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every time. Girl meets guy, girl leaves guy, girl returns to hometown where guy is now successful.
But guy saves the town.
Yes, guy has to save the town. They have some romantic rendezvous.
Yeah.
Then they bounce away and they fight about it, but true love brings them back.
Well, is it the true love or is it just the one last Christmas tree that he cuts down ever so gently and places expertly in the one place that the tree probably would not fit? Decorates it perfectly. She comes in. Oh, my gosh.
In the middle of a snowstorm.
In the middle of a snowstorm.
Sound familiar? It should. It's every Hallmark movie
ever. Hallmark movie ever made. Yeah. Amazing.
But the unrealistic expectations are there. And that really portrays them. I mean, it sets it up for women. You know, I don't know how many women watch that anymore. But it still portrays unrealistic expectations.
We're laughing because our expectations have been, at this moment, are a little higher than what they probably should be.
You try and find a quiet space, and there's always some noise somewhere.
There's always something. There seems to be a woodpecker outside.
Yeah. So, let's talk about that again a little more today, then. Let's talk all about, right, what does it look like? How do we set ourselves up for, I hesitate to use the phrase successful marriage, but I guess successful marriage in the sense of how do we avoid some of these pitfalls? How do we at least set the stage that we could be on the right path to have a marriage where the relationship is somewhat healthy? I mean, we're all going to fall.
Sure.
But something that at least we're not looking to run away from,
right?
You know, a couple months in.
I think, you know, I think we have to, for the first question I think we have to ask ourselves is what is my own expectation of a spouse, of a mate, a life mate, right, of my person? What am I looking for? What do I think I want? What is realistic to want? Because that really starts with the dating phase, right? Mm. Most people look for someone that's compatible. Okay, what does compatibility mean to you? Is it physical compatibility? Do they have to have a certain shape, a certain figure, a certain hair color, a certain eye color?
Okay, so let's start with that.
Okay.
Who starts off with emotional compatibility?
Oh, I think it's both.
Do you start off there? You look at a woman from across the room and go, I think I match up with her emotionally.
Well, if you look at the woman across the room, the first emotion isn't thinking, man, is she sensitive? That's not the first thought that comes to your head from the emotional standpoint. But I see where you're going. You're not wrong. The first thing you look at, obviously, is the physical attractiveness of what you're looking at, right? Does that catch your eye? Is that person, you know, bringing you in, whether it be with her gaze or her walk or how she, whatever it might be, right? And then once you get past that very that initial physicality, okay, now what's next, right? Is it how she interprets world events? Or is it how she has a kind heart, a kind soul? But you don't. Those are things you don't find out in the first day.
No, that's why you just. That's where you start to date, right?
Right.
So you get by the superficial questions. You know, who are you? What do you like?
Right.
You know, do you like cats or dogs?
Right.
Or whatever.
It's got to be dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot of cat people out there. I'm just not one of them.
I'm sorry, cat people. You're just weird.
One cat's probably okay. If you got 20, yeah. Seek help.
Maybe walk away.
But honestly, you get by the superficial questions, the nerves of the first date, all of those things. And if you get to the second, third, fourth date and down the road, then you start to discover more of your similarities, maybe more of your differences.
Well, when do you let your guard down then? Ooh. Right? Is it at the third or fourth date?
So I don't think there's a set time for that.
Well, let's key off of that. If you're not letting your guard down at the dating phase, why would you then think at the married phase it's okay to now let all your guard down and say, yeah, I'm a snorer. Yeah, I pick my nose. Yeah, I put the toilet paper roll down versus roll up, right? Those are the things that you – do you reveal that during the dating phase or
like
do you toes.
Say
– oh, girl. Nope. That's out.
Yeah. No, you're right. So let me ask you this.
All right.
In today's day and age,
okay,
and I don't think this has changed a lot, you have to have your guard up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think so.
When is the appropriate time to begin to share?
For men, I think it gets to the point where you realize that you really can't live or be without that person, right?
So it's not a specific number of
dates. I don't think so. I think for everyone it's different.
Yeah.
You know, I think for everyone it gets to that, you just get to that stage for guys anyway. I obviously can't speak for women, but for guys you get to that state where if you're not with her or you don't hear from her or you don't talk to her that day, or you don't get a chance to see her, whatever the case may be, there's a longing. Right. There's that internal, that gut, like, man, I really miss her today. I think that's a turning point for most men, right? Whether it be young or old, single or married. I think there is a longing for your quote unquote missing piece. Right.
Okay.
But I think it takes a while to get to that stage because you don't just wake up one day and again, go out, hang out with your boys, you go to the bar, you go to the club, you see her, that's it. She's my missing piece.
Mm.
Some may do, and some of it has worked out. But for most of us, it takes some time to get to that state, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, of course, there's always the danger, right, of rejection at that point, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because she's not feeling the same way,
yeah.
Or she's not ready for that level. And then you have to also be careful. You can't fire hose somebody with everything about yourself,
in
right?
one the first day.
Yeah.
I was watching I hesitate saying the movie because there might be others out there who haven't seen it, but there was a movie with Ben Affleck. It just came out, and he plays an accountant. So those who just heard that, you probably know what the movie is. But there's a scene in that where he's doing a speed dating thing, and at the speed date, he's literally like – it's almost like diary in a mouth, every last thing. And they're asking him these questions, and he's just rattling off. And the women's eyes are rolling in the back of their head. So, like, yeah, that's probably not what you want to do in the very first date. Some people do.
Well, it definitely would save you some trouble.
It would if you don't want to ever be married ever again.
You know, why is that? Because we all know we're bringing baggage into a relationship. Nobody's perfect.
True.
Why don't we want to hear the reality about the person up front?
I think
it almost
a
seems somewhat endearing.
I think it's a mystery. I think it's a mystery,
okay.
And it's a chase.
Okay.
I think it's a chase. Right?
All right, men, so let's go with that.
Men are hunters.
I agree.
Right? So if it's easy to grab that hunt, right? How fulfilling is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you now going to be satisfied because it was so easy? Or when the next thing comes around and it's a little harder to get, does that now entice you?
Well, there's always the thrill of the chase.
Correct.
The challenge. So now let's play off that. So let's just say now you've found the one.
Okay.
Now you're engaged. Now you're married. You've caught them.
Mm-hmm.
You lose interest?
No, because at that point you have, I believe, you have found... Again, like that missing piece.
Yeah, but the chase,
right?
Is over.
The chase, what is it though? Because you don't know everything about that person in that first year, first month, first day. it's taking it will oh, now boy, take
you know you really don't
right exactly yeah. It's going to take literally a lifetime to really understand who this person is, and maybe the first 5 years you can say, yeah, when my wife walks in the door and she looks at me a certain way, I know this is going to be a bad day. Or if there's a certain type of dinner on the table, I know she crashed a car or something yeah. crazy. So you can say those things, but can you really say you truly, truly know that person even in the first year? Because no. at that point, you're still, both of you are still, I believe, kind of guarded because you don't want to... You don't you want to dispel the perception. Attractive. Yeah, you don't want them to think, well, yeah. is this really the right, person not, I want to spend the rest of my life with after
You're not
all?
Breaking wind in bed yet.
Wow.
Well, let's face it. That ain't happening.
Yeah, well, yeah, you ain't walking in the bathroom, sitting down, and you know, doing your business while they're right
with
now.
With the door open.
With the door open. That's
like 30 years.
Yeah, at least, yeah. least, right? But right. You're right.
But there's still some mystery then, right?
Yes, I think the mystery is still part of the chase and it's still part of the allure. And I think we've lost some of that in this day and age because everything is just so open, whether it be OnlyFans, right, or it's just some other pornography site, or a friend of mine once told me, he said, you know, back in the day, it used to cost you $20 to go get some rump shaker, right? I just dated myself there. But now it's called twerking.
Yeah.
Right? And there's not a dollar bill inside. So there's no more mystery. Clothing, how we wear our clothing, both men and women, there's the mystery is now being eradicated from those things. So you know, you're letting everything out in one shot. And whether it be society telling you this is okay, and it's okay to be this way, or you don't have a level, and I believe, and I'm going to get ridiculed for this, there's a level of self-respect about yourself I think you need to have that says, maybe I don't show this much skin.
Well, so
or maybe I don't act out this way in front of her to try and impress.
Well, so I'm thinking about this now. So if that's the truth, and we say that the chase and the mystery is part of the romance, right?
Yep.
That's part of building a successful relationship. You need some of those things. Well, now we agree that we're killing it in our society. You know, with the rampant use of pornography, the like you said, the OnlyFans, which is pornography.
Exactly.
You know, so let's just
pornography put it under that. Pornography disguised as empowerment.
So whatever. the loss of modesty.
Sure.
Right? It used to be a guy would look at a girl and see her dressed with a very little bit of skin revealed, right? It could be a dress, could be whatever, just a little shoulder revealed or something, but that would spark your interest because what's hidden was attractive.
And don't get me wrong, I like a good bikini. I'm just looking at it.
I don't know how to go down that road.
I'm just saying, you know, for those that, you know, it looks good, but I see where you're going with it too.
Well,
it can be too much.
So, all right, let's play that for a quick second.
Sure.
A nice looking woman in a bikini. Now she puts a sheer cover up over that bikini, and she's not fully covered. Yeah. See, we're back at it.
There you go.
That draws your eye right to it.
Now you brought
it
right back.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's that little bit of mystery, right?
Yeah.
That draws your eye. So now we've destroyed that. What are we doing to relationships? Is that part of the problem that's going on? Why relationships harder to find?
Absolutely. You know, there was an individual that I was talking to, and she had said, you know, the Bible doesn't really teach us how to date. It talks all about marriage, but didn't teach. And I had to look and say, that's wrong. That's not correct. The Bible does teach you about dating, maybe not specifically in the regard that it does with marriage, but it does teach you about yourself, your modesty, how you should act, how you shouldn't act, your thoughts, how you should think, how you shouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, yes, it does teach you about dating, getting into the marriage portion of it.
Yeah.
And then it definitely talks through what marriage should look like.
Yeah. And to be clear, I don't know if that even ties into dating. There's a lot of reference. There's no reference in dating in
Correct.
The Bible, but it's how we should interact
Correct.
As individuals, right?
Correct.
And so in our world, I mean, biblical times, they didn't date. Most things, they were all arranged.
Exactly,
right? And so that's pretty much a post-biblical concept of dating. It's more of a modern thing that's not been around that long, honestly. But the Bible's clear on our personal interactions, and so you're right in the sense that we can take what the Bible says, how we should appear before another person, how we should act,
right,
the modesty, all of those things can tie right into our dating, which is nothing more than an interaction with another human being.
Yep, yep.
Right, so, yeah, I think we are destroying relationships with that lack of modesty, with the lack of chase.
Right.
Right? I don't have to chase you. I can flip open my phone and go to some site. Right? I mean, we can laugh at it because it's real.
But it's real. It's 100%.
We're destroying relationships. We're destroying our view on women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women think, well, I don't know if they think. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, women the too, viewpoint too, that it's you know? Empowering.
Yeah.
What is that empowering exactly?
I don't know. It's empowering I hear the very thing that I've
heard over and over again that women hate, and that's being objectified. Being called a piece of meat. So
yeah, you're not wrong.
Because you're making money at it, well, now you're prostituting yourself. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'm going to hear complaints about that. But at any point, you're making money for revealing yourself as prostitution.
That goes for men too. Right? Yeah, it's a two way street.
I didn't intend it to be just women.
Yeah,
but if you're revealing yourself and making money at it, that's not empowering. It's prostitution. It's belittling yourself. It's lack of self-esteem.
Right. So going back to what we were talking earlier, therein dispels the chase. Because if you can, to your point, if you can open your phone, see an OF girl, and she's revealing everything, what are you chasing at that point? Right?
Your own personal gratification.
But, well, exactly. That's it. And it's only lasts in that moment.
Now, would you ever even really want to date that girl?
No. No, absolutely not.
And I think that's more common than anything.
Oh, I think that's
something that's important that gets mentioned, because you're damaging your potential. And I'm not just railing on women here, but realistically, most men are not going to want to have a long-term relationship with somebody like that.
That is correct, unfortunately, yeah.
You know, the perverted side of the male brain, the sexual draw will be there. And sure, you'll have a relationship, a sexual one, that'll break you even further
and
tear you apart even further.
Yeah.
But long term, not saying it won't happen, but for most men, that's not what they're after long term.
Exactly.
It's just not.
And the crazy thing about this is men will complain about that, and they'll say, well, no, this isn't the kind of person I want to marry or even date. You're right. But yet, they're still the same person going to the computer, opening it up, click, 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 bye. If you just had some self-control and some self-respect and realize that it's the majority, what's the percentage? 99%, 95% male viewership of OnlyFans,
I don't know,
right?
But I'm sure it's so vast majority.
Let's just say it's a high percentage.
Yeah.
So you can't then complain about what you're looking at because you're feeding into what you're looking at, allowing it to continue. If you really want to stop it and you want to bring things back to common sense, then common sense
ain't
says,
so common.
Exactly. Common sense says you got to close the computer and stop buying that crap.
Well, so, I mean, we've kind of gotten off our original topic
we always do.
This is good. And I think this is worth talking through. I think what we've done is created a hamster wheel here.
Absolutely.
So, man seeks self-gratification through pornography or websites or whatever version. Woman becomes degraded through that and no longer trusts men to have a relationship with, which then forces men out of options for relationships and back into the role of self-gratification.
Yes.
And we're in this never-ending loop, infinity loop.
And let's take that infinity loop and let's put it a little further. So let's put it into a marriage, right?
Hmm. So assuming you get out of the loop and you actually get married.
And you get married.
All right.
But you haven't broken free from what you're watching, right? You haven't broken free from that mindset. Your wife gets up and she puts on something that's a little revealing. Something that's little makes her feel a little empowered.
Right? Sure.
We use a buzzword.
I think empowering, in the sense of marriage, I think there is some empowering thing because now a woman can use
what
God gave her to lure her husband.
There's more.
Oh, I know there's more. I'm trying to feed you.
So she's doing that, right, yeah, to allure her. She, mm-hmm, this must be what he likes because I know he's doing these things and watching these things. So this, but then the husband sees this. Whoa, wait, hey now. Whoa, what you wearing? What do you mean what I'm wearing? Well, don't you think that's a little too much or too little? Well, don't you like it?
Well, not on you.
Not on you, absolutely not. Now what does she think?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Am I not good enough for you in that moment? Because,
well, what else clearly, would you think?
Yeah, you like this. I'm seeing you. So this is good enough for you to do all these things with, but I can't come out and attract you with this? This isn't good? Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's not what I mean, honey. I still love you.
Yeah, there's no out now.
There's no out. You're done.
Yeah.
It's a trap!
Yeah, it's right? a trap, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So, and you've created your own trap.
Exactly. So you cannot then in that instant complain about what she is trying to do because you have created this situation within your own home, mm-hmm, by not respecting her enough to say you are enough.
Right. Well, because that's what you're saying is you're not.
Correct.
Even though it's not what you're intending to say, I would believe in most instances.
Yep.
You know, you're stuck in a loop.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we're creating these loops and they're ever expanding. You know, and it's affecting marriages and children. And, I mean, children are seeing pornography by age 9.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And so this is starting earlier and earlier. This used to be something, you know, maybe in your teenage years.
Taboo.
16, 17, yep, you know, something dirty, whatever, you know, all...
Yeah,
but now it's half that age.
You know, and it's
mainstream.
And the sad thing is, it's, you know, you've heard the phrase before. This is the world's oldest profession.
Yeah,
and that's the reality, right? So, I mean, here, listen, men are visual creatures by design, right? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Let's call it what it is.
Well, that plays right into the hunter mentality.
Exactly. But again, as men, we do have the power to say no. Right. This isn't how there's got to be self-control. This isn't how it should be, you know, and you have to take control of that. And then not just take control of that for yourself, take responsibility.
Hmm.
Right. I go back to the you cannot point your finger and boo and hiss at a young woman who is doing OF. Right. Not just OF. I'll even go even further back. Way back in the day when it was Playboy or Penthouse or Hustler, whenever those, you name them out there, right?
Yeah.
You cannot then point your finger at them. Why? Because the only reason they're in those magazines or on those videos or in those streaming services is because someone's buying the material.
Absolutely.
And that someone usually is male.
It's the initial form of capitalism.
There
is a market, therefore... I will place myself in it to make money.
Exactly. So we have to fix that piece as a male species first.
So
and it's not fixable. It has to be controlled.
Not on our own.
Not on our own. Not at all.
So listen, man. I'm thinking as you're saying, you know, we have to be accountable, right? We have to be able to say no. We've had that problem since day one.
Day one. We ate
here,
the fruit.
Adam, try this. Now, he could have said no and saved everybody a lot of problems.
Man.
But he looked at her and went, she looked good.
Yeah.
I'll try. And then very first thing,
uh-oh,
wasn't me. It was her.
It was her. She made me do it.
So we
no accountability. Yeah, from day one we
so
messed
now,
up. Right?
1,000 years plus, we sit here saying, we need accountability.
And women right now are just laughing their butts off because what we just said. Right? Yeah, we screwed it up. You know, and again, women, whether you believe in biblical principles or not, I do believe that women were designed to be our helpmates, not our slaves, not our subordinates, but our helpmates. And by that, standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder in our walks, right? And if we're not having enough self-respect to walk upright and righteous, then you're going to lead her astray. And that's just the way it is. You're not going to allow her to flourish as the partner that she was designed to be for, mm-hmm, you. You're going to stifle her, and she's going to end up being cocooned and shelled. And then she's going to look in the mirror one day and say, I don't know who I am, and I'm going to leave and find her.
Yeah. I mean, in the words of Jerry Maguire, you complete me.
I love it.
But that is how God created,
yeah,
women.
Absolutely.
And men. to complement and complete each other.
Yep.
When the relationship is healthy.
Yeah, and if we don't recognize that, you're losing out on something magnificent. I said it during the last podcast. I mean, losing your person, it's like someone reaching into your chest and literally pulling out your heart. And but yet you still stand there watching the thing beating. Kalima! Kalima!
All right, so in the last 5-10 minutes here before we wind up, what can we do? We've kind of laid out the problem.
Right? You know,
we turn the light on the issue.
I think we have to go to God. We have to go to God first. God is the only one who can help us find our path and illuminate our path out of what I call the room of darkness. Mm. Right? You think you're going in the right direction. You're spinning around, you're running. You don't know what direction you're going in. Because ultimately, you keep running back to that same spot. So the first thing you have to do, you have to go to God. The second thing I believe you have to do is you have to admit to God that you enjoyed what you were watching. Because there's no sense in lying to him, saying, oh, I hate this thing. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Yet you're going back over and over. Why? Because in some small piece, you enjoyed it. So you have to go to him and say, look, this is something that is giving me short-term pleasure, but long-term depression.
Mm-hmm.
Help me break free from this piece.
So what do you say to the guy that struggles with sexual type sins and keeps failing over and over again and says, I can fix this myself?
Can't.
Fails and then gets to the point where it just admits what you just said. I can't do this. I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way out.
Then I say to that person, bravo, congratulations, I'm here to walk with you. Right? There are you have to get to the point where you can admit that, not just to God, but now, like you just said, to yourself, and then to a trusted brother that you can talk to.
Hmm. That's hard to find today's world.
It is hard to find. But if you ask and you talk to God, say, hey, bring someone in my life that can help me through this process, you'd be surprised how quickly that person comes in, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised the group of men who are now going to surround you, the people that he's going to bring into your life to help pull you back into the light.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, and you don't even realize it's happening, right? And I think God does it that way because you still have the enemy. You still got Satan out there. Mm-hmm. And if Satan knows that, you trying to break free? Nah, man, I ain't having that. I'm going to bring you back. Mm. But I'm not going to get you with a big, bold Mack truck in your face. Mm. I'm going to get you with a death by a thousand cuts, slowly but surely. I'm going to nudge and tap and nudge and tap until you're right back where I need you to be. So the first thing, go to God. Admit to God. Second thing, admit to yourself. And then third thing, ask for like-minded individuals, like-minded men
to seek it out.
Seek and come to you.
Come to a church.
Come to a church.
I know everybody's afraid of that C word.
They are.
You don't need to attend the church. Find a group. Find a group of men. They're everywhere struggling with this. This is not one or two. This is the vast majority.
Yep. And once you break free of that, let me tell you something, guys. The freedom that you'll feel and then the flourishing of the relationship that you're in, you're going to kick yourself for not wanting to kick that habit earlier in life.
My follow-up question to that is, talk to the guy who says, you know what, I don't need to worry about this.
Oh, you do.
It's not that big a problem. I'll be okay. It is. Well, where does that go if you take the alternate road?
Ultimately, what happens is, you can ignore it. You can keep going through it. Ultimately, what's going to happen is your own personality, your own life will continue to degrade. Once that happens, it will then start feeding into your spouse. If you're married, she will then start to degrade. She'll start to pull away. Because you're now creating someone that's not who you first met. You're putting that person into a box that they can't match themselves up to what you want.
Well, and you're also bringing a third partner into the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
An
unwelcome partner in there, exactly. You know, so the longer you stay in bondage is what it is. It's bondage. The worst is going to be for you. Mm. And if you think of somebody who's in jail or under the influence, right, it's a continual downward spiral, except with this particular one, it is so subtle And the ramifications are so dire in the back end. Unlike someone who's addicted to drugs or smoking, right? Or
drinking.
This thing is quite possibly more powerful than all of those things combined. Mm. Right? At least with those things, you can see it. Right?
Well, and there isn't a social faux pas about it.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
well, it's becoming more and more accepted now.
You can say, well, I'm an alcoholic, and you really, most people rally around you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? If you say, I'm a sex addict, most people run.
Yeah.
How are you? And that's why going back to what you said, of finding the core group of guys, because anybody who's honest with themselves, any male who's honest with themselves, realizes they have some sort of problem with this. And they may not even say it's a problem, but it is if you think about it long enough, because anything that throws a negative spin on your life or any aspect of your life is a problem by definition.
Yep, absolutely. Right?
If it gets in your way, it's a hindrance or a problem.
Absolutely.
Do you have a major addiction? Maybe not, but let's admit it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the one of the fallacies that we have as society, that we don't call this a major addiction. In reality, it's the major addiction.
Oh, I agree.
Right, and because it's not just any one thing, it can hit anybody at any time, anywhere, and really take hold. Whereas if you, hey, I want to try a cigarette. this is not for me. Right?
Well, you're not wrong. There's no pain in this.
Exactly. It's all instant pleasure. That's it. And who doesn't want instant pleasure?
No, and we talked a lot about guys here, but this is also a problem for women.
Oh, absolutely.
Increasingly, and even more concealed, right? Even more taboo, if you will, for women to be caught up in this. But it happens. And the same advice goes for women.
Yep.
Find a trusted group. And you know, that's hard to do. It really is. We talked in a lot of different groups about finding close male friends.
Right.
Women have an easier time of finding friends, air quotes, but close friends that they can confide in, I think it may even be harder for them, because there's just such a deep distrust that I've noticed with women when they're together. Men, it takes a little longer. It takes a lot longer to start.
Right.
But when we do form a bond and we know that we can trust that other guy or guys, couple, usually not a big group, you tend to be more open.
You tend to
lay your heart out more and just fillet yourself open in front of your other guys because you know they're going through it too.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know how we got in this on this subject. I don't know how we're
guided to this one just, the best, but that's what we do best.
Somebody out there need to hear it. So I hope whoever you are, I hope wherever you are, that you look for help, and don't be ashamed of it. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't run from it. You know, lean into it. And truly, if you want to break that, find help. So whoever you are out there, we got your back. We're praying for you. I know God wants you back on His side, and not that you're not on His side, but you know, sometimes you gotta do the right thing.
Yeah, and with that, I mean, as we wrap up here, we haven't mentioned our email address in the last few episodes, so I'll throw that out there, that if you do have anything or if you need help or seeking help, reach out to us at thecommonsenseacademy4u@gmail.com. That's thecommonsenseacademy, the number 4, the letter U, @gmail.com.
I'm glad you did it, because I would have messed that up for sure.
It's been a while. Yep, we do check those emails, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yep, but, absolutely.
Yeah, so with that, I think that's going to wrap up another episode of the Common Sense Academy today.
Yep, thanks for listening, students.
Absolutely, I'll be good to each other.
God bless you guys.